It's good to be with you again. We have just the right amount of people here today. This is the way I like it. And I know everybody. So I don't have to be careful what I say. I can insult you and do anything I want.
There you go.
Let me ask you a question. Are you really happy? I mean, really, really happy?
No.
That's an honest answer. Why? Don't answer that. The reason why somebody really is not happy is because they don't really know yet who they are. That's the only reason. If you really were aware of who you really are, your real nature, happiness would exude from every pore of your body. It's just wonderful. Happiness is. There's really no reason for anyone to be unhappy. People who are unhappy take the world too seriously. They take themselves too seriously. They take life too seriously. They think things are real and they're going to last. It makes no difference what position you're in right now. It makes no difference what's going on in your life. It makes no difference where you are or who you are. The only thing you have to do is come to terms with yourself. When you understand yourself, how can you possibly be unhappy? Yourself is the self of the universe. Yourself is consciousness. Consciousness is just being conscious of your happiness. Being totally conscious. When you're totally conscious, you have to be happy. Why? Because what we call happiness is the substratum of existence. It's the underlying cause of everything. Do not judge by appearances. Do not look at things and believe that's the way they are. Live in the moment. Can you be unhappy in the moment? The only reason, again, you're unhappy is because you're thinking of some condition or situation you don't like. True? You're thinking about something from the past, or you're worried about something that's going to happen in the future. That's the only reason you're sad or not happy. But if you learn to live in the moment, if you learn to become aware now, how can you possibly be unhappy? Because now is bliss. Just don't think. Experience now. If you're really not thinking and you're experiencing now, you're in bliss. Now is reality. Now is ultimate oneness. Now is liberation. But as soon as you allow your mind to tell you, oh, this is nothing but a bunch of BS, why do you think so? You are thinking of a condition, you are thinking of a situation in your life that you don't like. You're thinking of something that's wrong someplace, somewhere. And you believe it's going to last forever. We do not change conditions, we change ourselves. As you know, you've changed conditions most of your life. And when you get into a new situation, everything seems rosy. But then after a while, you turn right back to your old ways. The novelty is worn off. And again, you're unhappy. You therefore have to do things to be happy. You have to watch a lot of TV or go to the movies or read newspapers or read books or get involved in some kind of situation so you don't think. The only reason you get involved in all kinds of physical material situation so you will not have to think. You will be too busy to think. But when you're alone, when you're by yourself, when there's no one around, how long can you sit by yourself before you become mad at yourself or angry over something? And you turn on the TV or drink a bottle of beer or go bowling or do something. Even those of you who go look at nature, climb mountains, enjoy flowers in the trees, are doing so because you really believe that the joy and the love and the experience you see out there is external to you. So even the beauty of the so-called world is erroneous. You're running away from something. You're looking for beauty outside of yourself. You have to learn that you are the beauty. You are the joy. You are the flowers that you enjoy so much. You are the trees and the ocean and the sky and the mountains. It's all coming from you. If you really realize that you are that, would you run around seeking things? Everything that you want is within you. You are that. Even relationships. You look for a relationship with someone so it can make you happy, so you can enjoy their company, so you can love them, so you can be with them. But I can assure you that within yourself is a greater love, a greater joy, a greater peace than you can ever find anywhere else. It's true. You've got it all. There is nothing, no thing that you need from the outside. And nothing can ever happen to you because there's no one to make it happen except yourself. When you begin to think erroneously, you imagine all sorts of things are going to happen to you. You imagine that you lose your job, that you'll be bankrupt, you'll get sick, you'll die from disease. You have all kinds of imaginings. This is the only thing that makes you miserable. If you can only learn to look within, if you can only learn to dive deeper than yourself and identify with the self, merge with the self. I can't begin to tell you the joy you would feel. There's nowhere you have to go. There's no one you really have to meet. There's nothing you have to do. You simply have to be yourself. You are the joy of the world. The question arises, is a guru necessary? Is a teacher necessary? Think of that question. The definition of guru is from darkness into light. Gu is darkness and Ru is light. That's why when you hear children saying goo 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 goo, they're in darkness. They're experiencing the world, they say goo goo. For they already subconsciously realize that the world is darkness. But when you say Ru, that's the light. Therefore, a guru should always be a sage that takes you from darkness into light. How does the sage take you from darkness into light? By doing certain things in order to make you realize that you are the one. Not by saying, I am the guru and you are my disciples. By making you see that you are that one that has never been born, that can never die, that is imperishable, that is absolutely Satchitananda. You are that one. And you are that one just the way you are right now. What do I mean by that? Just the way you are right now. If right now you're thinking about you're the body, or you're the doer, or you've got problems, or there's something wrong, then that's not you. But if you're living right now, as we just mentioned before, in the now, the eternal now, then you are that one just the way you are right now. Right now. In this split second. If you think you're spoiled, for thoughts are always about the past or the future. Even if it's the past minute, or a minute into the future, you're spoiling it. Because you're not centered in the now. So you are Brahman, just the way you are right now. The guru should be able to tell you that and make you understand it and see it and feel it. not everyone needs a guru. A guru can be a tree, a mountain, a lake, a flower. You've heard this before, but let me explain it. When a tree becomes your guru, the tree is no longer an ordinary tree. It's you. You are identifying with the essence of the tree, which is consciousness. You're not seeing the tree as a tree. It's the beauty of the tree, or the mountain, or the lake, or whatever, that first attracts you. But if you just see the tree as a tree, you will be disappointed. For the leaves drop off, bugs attack it, people chop it down. Yet if you identify with that tree spontaneously, intelligently, that tree becomes you. And the essence of the beauty is the essence of your beauty. In that respect, the tree is your guru. Therefore, a guru in the human form is a being whose words and whose silence you feel in your heart. And just like the tree, the essence of the guru is your essence. There's only one. Therefore, when a student is sincere in their spiritual practice, when they put that first before anything else, when they continue to work on themselves, automatically the guru within yourself, the essence within yourself, like a magnet, will attract and pull you toward a guru outside of yourself, which is really yourself, that can cause you to rise higher and become liberated. You've got to stop seeing yourself as a human being. You've got to catch yourself whenever you think something is wrong, someone has hurt you, someone has rubbed you the wrong way, when things are not going right at your job or at home. Do not be like the ordinary person and react to it. And do not believe that if you do not react, things will get worse. I cannot tell you enough that every situation that happens to you is necessary for your growth. There are no mistakes. Everything that you've been through everything that you're going through is absolutely necessary for your spiritual growth. If it does not look kosher to you, realize it's your mind reacting. It's your ego reacting. And the way to handle it is to just observe. Do not get involved by arguing, fighting, trying to change things. Just observe. If you can observe without getting excited, then you've passed that test. And you will not have to repeat it. But if you get angry, you get upset, you want to get even, you're always thinking about it and you have hate and animosity, even though you move away from that situation, you will meet that situation again and again and again until you learn not to react to it. The universe is a university to educate the soul. Before we can go any higher and awaken, we have to have these little realizations where we begin to feel that there's nothing wrong. There is absolutely nothing wrong. All the good of the universe is yours. There's absolutely nothing wrong. Nothing. If you can only live in the moment and feel what I'm saying, everything in this world, in this universe, will become you. That's why people like Jesus and others have been able to say, all that I have is yours. Meaning that consciousness is bliss. And bliss is expressing itself as the world, as the universe, as yourself. Live in that bliss. Refuse to acknowledge anything else. It appears that if you do not acknowledge something, something will go wrong in your life. But you are not made for something to go wrong in your life. There is absolutely nothing wrong anywhere. So how can anything go wrong in your life? Even those of you who believe God is running the show, God can be good and bad. or that would be a capricious universe in which we live. The moon would crash into the sun. Wheat would grow one time, and roses would grow another time from the same seed. When we live in a capricious universe, there are not two powers there. There's one power, and you can call that God. It is all pervading. If it is all pervading, and there is no place where it is not, how can there be a problem? For in order to be a problem, there has to be God in something else. But all you've got to do is a little meditation, you will see that there is only God as everything. And there is no room for God in anything else. So you say, where does sickness come from? Where does lack of limitation come from? Where does man's inhumanity to man come from? I have to ask you, who sees it? Who sees this? Most of the world's populace. Most of the world sees lack, limitation, disease, man's inhumanity to man. And this is why these things perpetuate themselves and appear to be collectively everywhere in the universe. But then there are the few of us who step out of the parade. And they hear the beat of a different drummer. That's how it begins. They no longer acknowledge evil as a reality. It may be a fact, but whose fact? Those who are living in the dream world. And again, all facts are subject to change. Therefore, anything that's a fact can never be reality. Reality presumes that it is the same forever and ever, without change. Harmony is reality. Love is reality. Joy is reality. Bliss is reality. You are reality. Just the way you are. Not when you think. When you begin to think, you can argue with me and say, how can I be reality when I'm experiencing this and I'm experiencing that? You're thinking, that's why you say this. But if you stay just as you are in the moment, then you're reality. As you begin to think about these things, you raise yourself higher and higher. And again, because you're cleansing your personal consciousness from all past karma and samskaras, the inner self, the guru within, will lead you to the guru without. And when you sit in the satsang, you will hear all these truths which are spoken in the silence. And something will happen. You will begin to feel that there's no birth. There's no cause for this universe. It will just come to you. Situations are not what they appear to be. The universe is but a dream. It will come to you all by itself. For instance, the rishis of old did not have pen and pencil to write notes or have tape recorders to record tapes or have newspapers or books to read. Yet if you read the Upanishads, the Vedas, you will find that these rishis, these sages, even that they didn't know each other, all came to the same conclusion about reality. For they were able to dive deep within the soul. And they were able to see that this world does not exist. The body does not exist. Your mind is non-reality. They were able to merge their body-mind and their own nature, which is consciousness, absolute reality. They then became absolute reality, pure awareness. And they wanted to spread the word to the world, but they couldn't, because they realized the world doesn't exist. So there's really no one to spread anything to. Yet, when they think of themselves, all others are included. It therefore appears as there are others. And among the others are certain people who are ready to be liberated. And these people sat at the feet of the rishis. And they became sages. And that's how the word was spread. Then writing began, and manuscripts were written, and many people were able to come into this truth through reading and through listening to the sage. But now I must tell you the truth, that none of this exists. Everything I told you is for kindergarten students. Why should you have to do anything to awaken? when your divine nature is already awakened. Why should you have to strive or overcome conditions or straighten out your life? In the dream that you're dreaming, you give importance to your humanhood. That's the only problem you really have. Giving importance to your humanhood. And once you do that, every other lie comes into experience. That you've got to straighten conditions out. You've got to do this and you've got to do that, but they're all lies. Consciousness has nothing to do. Absolute reality is absolute reality, just the way it is. It doesn't have to practice any sadhanas, chant any mantras, or do anything. Why not awaken now? What are you waiting for? Make up your mind that you're going to awaken right now. And allow your mind to turn into your heart. Which is pure awareness. Do it. Some of you are still asking, how do you do it? Through silence. Experiencing the moment, the now, the reality. Nothing is happening now. No one is suffering. Now is the only moment you've got. Abide in the now. Everything is perfect right now. Feel it. Don't think about it. Feel it. There are no yesterdays. There are no tomorrows. All of your so-called sins have been transcended. No past, no future. You are fully alive now. Right now. Enjoy. remember, as your mind starts thinking, grab hold of it by observing it and go back to the now. Whenever you float away in thoughts, keep remembering to catch yourself. There are many of you who are allowing your minds to run away. Stay in the moment. There is nothing happening in the moment. The moment is eternity. If you're doing this correctly, you should start to feel a joy welling up within you. A joy, a bliss, a peace that you never felt before. Feel it. Nothing else exists except for this peace, this love, this awareness. Call it by any name you like. Doesn't matter. You are that. anything you want to get off your chest.
It's a nice day and that's a beautiful song.
Good. That's a nice remark. We have a small group here today, so you can ask a question that you've been holding in, and nobody will know about it.
I think this is an insect world.
An insect world? What do you mean by that?
Well, just observing people, including myself, they act more like insects.
What kind of insect would you like to be?
No, I wouldn't like to be one, but I just observed it.
A grasshopper?
Kind of like their ants crawling all over each other. And,
That's how you see it.
That's the way they act. You know, it's just an observation. If you have a job down the street, you would notice.
But then you should ask yourself, who sees this? To whom does this come? Who's the one that thinks everybody's an insect? And why do I think that? Because you are identifying with man and humanity to man. You're not seeing God. You're not seeing reality. You're not experiencing consciousness. You're experiencing the opposite. So you feel that everybody's an insect, flying on top of one another. It's as if you're having a dream and you believe the dream is true. But if you ever woke up, you would realize it's not so. So it is with you. You're seeing these insects because you are thinking it's a rough world. People are this way and that way. But who sees them? We usually see what we are. So you must be the chief insect. And you see other insects going all over. But know the truth about yourself. And you'll know the truth about everyone else.
I just wanted to say that our 17-year-old kitty cat is dying right now, so I'd like to ask everyone if you could just add a little prayer on her behalf right now. I mean, when in your prayers, when you pray, because she's going downhill fast, and sure,
Karim, I can tell you from the bottom of my heart that your kitty cat is in good hands. And there's nothing to worry about. Do we have announcements?
When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a fellow turns about when he might have won, but he stuck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and a faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. And here's another little poem on the end called How to Count. Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. I think that's beautiful. And I have one other announcement to make. All of you like David's music so well. I know I do. And I have some tapes of David with the words all on tapes, written on inside. And we'd like to sell them for $10 a piece. And if any of you are interested, please contact me. They're beautiful. I know I like them. Thank you.
Want to say something about the new lesson? Okay. Can we and Ed put together another lesson? This is really a good one, so if you want to make copies of it, let me know and I'll give you one. If we each make about 10 copies, we can bring them back in next week and make a very good one. So maybe 4 or 5 people make 10 copies. If you want to come over and get them here. I can help them. This one to me.
That's special for Lee.
Could you announce Josephine's phone number?
Oh yeah, Josephine likes to come here, but she needs a ride. So anyone who would like to pick her up, let us know. Where does she live?
She lives up in the Mill Earl Canyon off Lookout Mountain, up on the top of the mountains.
Anybody who comes that way, you can have the phone number. And go and get her.
Or you call her up and she'll give you the directions. Even if you could pick her up like once a month, or it doesn't have to be every month, once in a while.
These transcripts, by the way, are for your own personal use. And you can share them with your friends. But as you know, I don't have ambitions or goals. So please don't send these to radio stations or TV stations. I've had a couple of calls. As a matter of fact, yesterday I got a call from Ramana Ashram in India. They received one of these lessons from somebody. And now they want me to run around the Krishna Center and do all kinds of weird things, which I would rather not get involved with.
Ramana Ashram wants you to run around the Krishna Center?
Yeah. A guy by the name of Reddy called me. You see, he remembered me when I was there 35 years ago. And they wanted my address also, so when they come over with a group, they can stay at my house. We're not prepared for things like that, so please don't send them to strange people.
Everybody in spirituality is strange.
I know. You're right. And don't send them to anybody. We're not prepared for anything like that, for an ashram. And of course, I don't want to go on any TV program or have any radio discussions or anything like that. What else shall we talk about?
talking about death.
There is no death, there's only life. So there's really nothing to talk about. Death is a lie. Who dies? Only the ego.
Does the cat have an ego?
The cat has its own ego, sure.
Can an animal get realization?
Of course.
Oh.
Everything can get realization because everything is already realized.
What's stopping the animal from?
Nothing.
Are they realized?
It is realized in reality. The leaf, the cockroach, everything is realized.
It's only the human being that's in trouble, huh?
The human being is part of everything. The human being is not in trouble. You're separating yourself. There is only consciousness. And the world exists as consciousness. Therefore, everything that exists is consciousness.
So even the mind doesn't separate us?
Nothing separates us. There's no separation. It's all false belief. All separation is false belief. When I speak of oneness, everything is incorporated. Animals, insects, trees, oceans. Everything is God. So everything is realized. There are no exceptions. There's only one. And you are that.
And that goes for animals and people as well. We should kind of not rejoice, but be glad that that little soul or whatever has gone on to realization.
Well, we don't have to be glad and we don't have to be sad. Just be. The only reason we have other thoughts and other emotions is glad and sad. Is because we separate. They're here and we're here. If we were able to see oneness, then we would realize that everything is us. And there is no death, there is eternal life. Death is a misnomer. Nothing dies.
Things change. There's continual change.
To whom?
To anybody who wants to look.
The person who sees change is the person who believes they are the body. When the body doesn't appear any longer, there's nothing to change. As you see yourself, you see the world. So when you see yourself change, you're getting older, you're getting smarter. Then you see everybody else changing also. But when you realize that you are unchangeable, you've always been the same and you are the same. You're like the chalkboard. And all of your images are just imposed on the chalkboard.
And there's nothing appearing or disappearing on the chalkboard?
The chalkboard, things appear to disappear, and they appear to appear.
They appear to appear, but don't actually.
They don't actually appear, they just appear to appear.
Oh.
And they appear to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So on the chalkboard is a picture of you when you were a baby, then that's erased, it disappears. Then you're a teenager, that's erased. Then you're grown up, that's erased. Then you're like you are now, and it stays till that's erased. But the chalkboard never changes. So are you the chalkboard or are you the change?
I'm the whole ball of wax.
That's right. True. I know as well.
Yeah. Okay. I think you have a point there.
Points on my head.
I'd like to share something.
Sure.
I have a 7-year-old daughter who likes to occasionally bring up the question of death. And it's usually when she's falling asleep at night, she gets into these thoughts. She said, you know, I think maybe it's a relief when you die, get out of these hot muscles and tight skin. And then she said, but there's one thing you never get rid of. And I said, what is that? She said, your heart.
Hmm. That's clever.
Oh, it's nice.
What you want that?
She comes with it. She was talking last night about how she thought it was pretty silly for us to celebrate birthdays. She didn't see the point of celebrating the day we were born. And then she talked on and on about it a little bit, and then she said, well, I guess it's good just to celebrate our joyfulness.
Sounds like a good kid.
Yeah.
How about the rest of your kids?
They're all the same.
How about your husband?
He's good too.
You're lucky.
I don't see any problem.
Good. You mean you'll hold on to it for a while?
When they wanted to celebrate Ramana's birthday at the ashram, Ramana said the same thing about birthdays, basically. He said it's ironic that we celebrate our day of birth because actually it's kind of like our day of death, because the day of birth that we think was separate, it's kind of like a suicide. Because it's the birth of the ego, but it's the death of the self. So why would anyone want to celebrate that? That's what Ramana said.
Sure. Your presence.
Because you get presence.
Yeah. Who gets presence?
Who wants presence?
And everybody gets together and wishes you well.
Yeah.
Say, you don't look a day older, you look 10 years.
And you look...
Well, as long as you believe you're the body, you can celebrate birthdays. Because if you believe you're the body and you don't celebrate your birthday, then you'll be sad. Sure. Won't you?
No.
In other words, you can't tell yourself, I'm not going to celebrate my birthday, but you haven't received your realization yet, because then you'll be thinking about your birthday anyway. Mm-hmm. You'll be thinking you're a year older, and if you celebrated your birthday, you would have gotten presents. So you feel upset. Ramana was able to say that because he was in a different category. This is what I mean when I say sometimes we shouldn't fool ourselves. Do not make yourself suffer. For instance, when I tell you that nature, the trees, the mountains, the ocean is within yourself, and you don't need to go anywhere, this is true if you can experience that. But if you can't experience that yet, don't lock yourself up in your room and refuse to look at anything or acknowledge anything and keep saying, I am the self. You'll go mad. Do what comes naturally. Enjoy everything until the time comes when you can enjoy yourself.
I think you ought to open that ashram in India.
to get you in an ashram one way or another.
Mm-hmm, right.
He's got you headed for an ashram.
What
are
we going to do?
You're sure going to need it.
Yeah.
Get one in the mountains, about 8,000 or 10,000 feet. It's nice and cool. 20 acres,
right.
10 houses.
Whatever is to happen has already happened. And we just have to sit back and watch it on the phone. Any more comments?
Bobby, you say our only freedom is not to react to conditions that are really changing the dynamics. And I feel that our only freedom is not to be I.
That's right, the I reacts to conditions. So when you're not I, nobody is left to react. That's why the first thing you do is to remove the I.
So our only freedom is not to identify with the mind.
By annihilating the eye. When you kill the eye, the mind goes too.
So everybody's doing it wrong.
No.
The whole world.
Oh, no. Forget about the world.
The whole world is doing it opposite.
Never mind what the world is doing. What are you doing?
I'm doing it opposite.
Oh, don't. Remember to worship yourself, to love yourself, to pray to yourself. Because God dwells in you as you. I love you. Peace. All is well.